We really appreciate those fine musicians who led us tonight, and want to make sure that John and Eric know that. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. This is the end of a very busy day, and I'm so grateful for you. It's also the last word that I'm going to bring in this little series here as we began the year, supporting our theme of breathe. And what I'd like to do is just give you some good words from what is more and more becoming the favorite benediction of mine from the New Testament. It's a benediction that we find at the end of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And this is a benediction that I plan to use quite often in 2017. I wanted to make sure that you understand some of the depth and the richness of these good words. Remember that in the Bible, a benediction, the word benediction means good word. A benediction is a wonderful part of Scripture in that a benediction is a prayer, but it's also a promise as it comes to us from God's inspired word. It's a prayer, but it's also a promise. And it comes to us with the authority of a kind of a statement of purpose. So when we read a benediction in Scripture, we know this is something that God desires to be true in our lives. It's His purpose for us. And so these benedictions are very powerful and important to study. And this benediction, like most of them, ends with the word Amen. And almost certainly the purpose of that is for the minister to pronounce the benediction and the congregation to respond with Amen. Remember, Amen means firm. That's true. I'll affirm that. That's true. It's true for me. It's true for you. Amen. I'll stand on that. In Osage County, the Amen at the end of the benediction means something like, give me some of that. Right? I'll have some of that. Amen. So when we read this benediction, feel free to join in on the Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's a big benediction. It's big in that it's both long and it's very deep. There's a lot of theological depth in this benediction. And I want to make sure that you follow it. And one of the ways to follow it is to think of it as a building that has a strong foundation and soars high with a spire that has a primary structure. I have read about the new World Trade Center, the One World Trade Center, which is the highest in the building in the Western Hemisphere. 1,776 feet tall, 104 stories, 45 tons of steel. It's a big building. In fact, 3 million square feet in that building. Have any of you seen it? Have you been there? It's big. A big building requires a big foundation, so the foundation of that building goes all the way down to the bedrock. And there are 15,000 cubic yards of concrete in the foundation of that building. That's enough concrete to pour 60 miles of New York City sidewalk. They poured down into the ground to support that building. And this benediction has this deep theological foundation. It reaches to the very pinnacle of God's purpose for us in the gospel. But it has a fairly simple, basic structure. And so let's kind of let that be our outline. First of all, notice the deep piers of this benediction that go down to the bedrock of the gospel. There's a kind of it kind of hints at a Trinitarian form, the God of peace, the shepherd of the sheep working within us, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But you can see how verse 20 makes reference to the heart of the gospel, the blood of Jesus, his death on the cross, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his lordship. And so you can't get any more basic than that. You can't get any more central than that. So this benediction is something that's grounded, not on the edges. It's not just pretty language, but it is grounded right in the bedrock of the gospel, that Jesus shed his blood on the cross for our sins, that he rose again, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. So all of that is contained in verse 20. Now that God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord. God of all peace, it refers, the word peace sums up the way God blesses his people. Peace is the essence of well-being. God is a God who gives us well-being. He blesses us. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the reference to covenant is a reference to his promise that it's sure and it's certain. So sometimes we think of benedictions as just being pretty language, nice words that make us feel good, maybe. But this benediction, like all benedictions, has this deep theological foundation. But it also reaches to the very pinnacle of our purpose. The end of verse 21 says, which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. God created us. We live to please him and to glorify him. And this benediction moves to that ultimate purpose, that he might be pleased and glorified, that we individually and we as a church might put a spotlight on God for all the world to see who he is and the greatness of his glory, and we might put a smile on his face, that he might be pleased and glorified. Now, the basic structure of this benediction, the heart of it, is simple. May God equip you to do his will. What a blessing. May God equip you to do his will. Through Jesus Christ, his blood, his resurrection, and in the working of his Holy Spirit within, may God equip you to do his will. Now, the word equip is translated in a variety of ways in our New Testament. Sometimes it's translated perfect. It means to complete. To be equipped means to be put together in proper condition. It carries the idea of being fully outfitted for your work, like a soldier who has all of his weapons and equipment, like a carpenter who has every tool that he needs, to be fully outfitted, to be put together in proper condition, equipped to do his will. May God give you all that you need, put you together in proper condition, so that you might do his will. That's the benediction. And when you think of doing the will of God, we all have a tendency, when we think of doing the will of God, to think of some grand venture, some great life's work, some specific task. And it is true that God equips us to do specific tasks, grand ventures from time to time. But it's probably best for us to think of our daily life in Christ. Things like loving our neighbor and living a life that is holy and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the people around us. The basic the basic daily ministries of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God equip you to do His will. And remember, now these benedictions are not only prayers that we pray, but they're promises in the Word of God. They're a statement of His purpose. And God's purpose in Christ Jesus is to equip you to do His will. This benediction teaches us that as people who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who've been born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us all we need to do His will. He does not only give us work to do, but He gives us the tools to do it. He does not only give us the work to do, but He puts us together so that we can accomplish that work. Remember, having been saved by grace through faith, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He has prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. God gives us all we need to do His will. Do you remember Jeremiah? When God called him to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah was young and he was unsure of himself. And he protested and said, "Oh, Lord, I can't." He said, "I'm too young. I'm too afraid. In essence, I'm not equipped." Do you remember what the Lord did? Jeremiah says, "And the Lord reached out His hand and touched my lips." He equipped him. God gives us all we need to do His will. Now, this is a New Testament truth that works in our lives in a couple of different ways, depending on the condition of our heart. If we'll get a hold of this truth that God in Christ Jesus gives us all we need to do His will, then it will, first of all, protect us from pride. Doesn't this protect us from pride? Who is doing the doing when we are doing God's will? Did you notice that? There's a play on words here that's really interesting. Look at verse 21 carefully. May God equip you in every good thing to do His will. The New American Standard that I read out of says, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight. If we read this literally, here's how we would read it. May God equip you in every good thing to do His will, doing in us that which is pleasing in His sight. It's an intentional play on words here. That when we're doing His will, it's only because He is doing in us that which is pleasing in His sight. He's equipping us for every good work in Christ Jesus. Our granddaughter Pearl is getting old enough to be fun. And she, I raised three sons and they're grown, and I don't think I remember ever a time when any of my sons ever corrected me. There's a difference, though. I sneezed in my hand, and she said, no, Granddad, go like this. Well, she came walking in the house not long ago, and she really came prancing into the house, proud as a peacock. She had a hat on, and her hair was combed underneath her hat. She had a nice little new coat and some fancy boots, and she knew she was looking good. And she walked in, of course, and we all oohed and awed over. She was proud as she could be. The thing is, Pearl's not three. She can't dress herself, right? She just her mom and dad dressed her, and she came walking in. And in a similar way, in all of our doing, it's His doing, right? Really, we can't even dress ourselves. We don't equip ourselves for every good work. He gives us the desire. He gives us the capacity. He gives us the opportunity. He gives us all that we need to do His will. And this is a truth that protects us from His pride. It's for His from our pride. It's for His pleasure and for His glory. It's His doing. And a beautiful thing about this truth that God gives us all we need to do His will is not only does it deliver us from pride, does it protect us from pride, but this very same truth, God gives us all we need to do His will, delivers us from despair. There are more of you in this room tonight, even good Sunday night church people. There are more of you in this room tonight who are prone to despair than pride, who have a tendency to think, I could never please God. I couldn't do His will. A lot of you, like Jeremiah, say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too weak, I'm too broke, I'm too bad. I could never put a smile on God's face. I could never glorify His name or do His will. I'm too far gone. A lot of people, even followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, have this idea that if God were picking a team on the playground, I'd be the last one chosen. All right? Hear the word of the Lord. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that He might nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. For by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. Here we have in this benediction a promise that the Book of Hebrews tells us is as sure as the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. It's as certain as the resurrection of Jesus, His reign is Lord. It rests on the bedrock of the gospel of peace. The promise is this: God gives us all we need to do His will. That's our prayer, it's His purpose, and it's His promise for us. And we want to rest in this good word. This is a promise you can claim as you pray for yourself, as you pray for your family, any follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful pattern of prayer. And I want you this evening to stand and receive this benediction from God's word. Do you remember how to receive a benediction? You say amen, right? You say, I'll have some of that. Amen. And I tell you what we're going to do. I want to give you this benediction. You receive it by saying amen. Then I'm going to pray. And we're going to have a public invitation this evening. We'll sing a hymn. Some may need to come with a public response or come join in our church. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. Receive this benediction from God's word. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these good words. Thank you for the theological foundation, the foundation as sure and certain as the death and resurrection of Jesus, who is the great shepherd of the sheep. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives and works within us. In the way that in Christ Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you give us everything we need to do your will, to please you, and to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing together Amazing Grace. If you need to come with a public response as we sing, then you come now.